So it's been a long and productive partnership we've had with you, Harvey, and with your wife, Nancy. It's been a very long time. I'm not sure how many people even remember what year we started support with you, but I'll give you a few hints. Gerald Ford was president. Everyone was about to learn the importance of Control-Alt-Delete as Microsoft was founded. And we were all afraid to go back in the water thanks to Steven Spielberg releasing the movie Jaws. Well, the year was 1975. Well, Harvey had started in 1972, actually, with International Students Incorporated, working with international students at Harvard. And he rose through the ranks, continuing in international ministry for a couple decades with ISI before he moved on to Navigators, doing the same thing, still working with international students. That's where his heart's been. That's where he's been working in the gospel for all these years. And again, he transitioned one more time in 2007 when he joined Interface Ministries, but again, still with international students, because that's where his heart is. Well, it's been 47 years of ministry with international students, and Harvey is now transitioning out of that full-time professional ministry, but we know he will continue to share the gospel because that's where his heart is. And so, Harvey, if you'd come up, I'd like to share a little Ebenezer with you. This is just a token to kind of mark, you know, it's a stone of faith. We're trying to mark this occasion. I'm going to ignore the card for now, but just open the gift part there. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, since you won't be able to see what it is, but I'll let him get a head start.
Am I nervous?
No, I am. So this is just a reminder of the faithfulness of God in this ministry through these years. So Harvey chose this morning, as you saw, "Great is Thy Faithfulness" as the offertory. This is a copy of "Great is Thy Faithfulness" framed. This is our representation of this 47-year. Work in the gospel and God's faithfulness in working through you to all the nations, through all the international students. And we just want you to not forget us in this partnership.
No way.
Not that we will, and or you could. So this is Harvey's 13th appearance at a missions conference here at West. He's the record holder. We don't have a plaque for that. So is there something you wanted to share I hand over the pulpit to you?
We need John and Karen.
Here comes Rick. Okay.
You have been such faithful partners. And how do you say thanks for 47 years? It's just mind-boggling. But I'm giving to you all a certificate of appreciation. It says, presented to West Congregational Church, Peabody, Mass., with sincere appreciation for over 45 years of partnership with Harvey and Nancy Carlson International Student Ministry, October 2019. So, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Lovely.
Thank you. What a treat to be here. I tell you, that last worship song, I was thinking, let's spend the next hour and a half singing that song. It's just wonderful to be with people in worship when you know you're being lifted up to the Lord. I chose a verse that says, all over the world, this gospel is growing and bearing fruit. And I love that verse because it's so, yes, it's happening. It's happening all over the world. You know, Paul was thinking about hopefully someday going to Spain and the gospel has spread all over the world. You know, I had a few occasions to travel overseas. And so I was able to worship with French Christians and Scottish Christians and Norwegian Christians and even Christians in Indonesia and, of all places, even in Vientiane. I don't want to assume you've ever heard of that city, but it is the capital of Laos, which is still a communist country. And when we were there with these Christians, there was a man in the front of the church with a camcorder, and he was filming everybody that was there for records with the Communist Party, just to know who the people that are here. But still, the gospel was going out in that place. In fact, I even found out that there were missionaries up in the north and east that were there as helping people with agriculture and economy, but they were there sharing the gospel. Praise God. It's amazing where the Holy Spirit has sent people to the ends of the earth. Now, I'll have a few passages I want to just remind us of. We know these passages, but again, let me just thank you again. I may do this several times in the service, but it is kind of overwhelming that you've been partners for 47 years. We started out in campus ministry in downtown Boston, and I was asked to be a regional director, and then in 84, I was asked to be a national field director, and that would cause us to move to Colorado Springs. And we did that for a number of years, and then the Navigators wanted to begin an international student work. And, you know, one thing I want to especially mention, you were with us all the way. You were with us the whole way. Now, some people might say, you know, we really just want to support campus ministry. So if you go to Colorado, we have to just redirect our giving. I had a few churches in this area that felt they needed just to keep working with local students. But, you know, Nancy and I actually struggled with the idea of leaving this area, leaving our friends. We had a number of wonderful churches that were helping and supporting our ministry. But we prayed. I prayed with friends. I prayed with pastor. And God gave us a peace to go. But it was a sacrifice. In fact, it was so much of a sacrifice. When I was in my car on the Mass Pike headed west, and Nancy was in the other car, I had some of the kids with me. And I broke down and cried. I cried. Because I realized all these friends, it's hard to keep up these wonderful, nourishing, soul-nourishing friendships from all these years. But you stayed with us, and I commend you for that. I really do. So thank you for that. Now, you know, there's this passage we know of in Isaiah, because it has to do with being called into missions. And so Isaiah hears, he says this about himself, "Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar, and with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, be every hearing, but never understanding. Well, one reason I identify with this, and there's a passage similar in the 2 Peter chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 8. Both these men were so conscious of the corrupt world that they lived in. In fact, in the case of Lot in 2 Peter, Peter even uses the word he was tormented in his soul because of the unrighteous people around him. Why do I say that? Well, we may know that there's just so many ways our dear country is struggling and decaying, and unrighteousness seems to be expanding. But in the midst of that, Isaiah was able to hear, even though so many things are falling apart and there's so many things that break my heart, I can still go. I can still go. I will be going with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so whatever's happening in our world, just keep lifting Jesus up. That's the truth. Sing songs like this again and again to yourselves. You know, the gospel does amazing things. I had occasion with two students, two different occasions. One was a Korean, and one was a Japanese girl. And the Korean fellow was a student in this area. He told me he was a Christian. And so I asked him, how do you, if somebody asked you how to become a Christian, what would you say? And he said, well, you want to find a church, and then you need to go to the church, and whenever they pass the plate, you should put money in the plate. That's how you become a Christian. Well, I was very happy to show him. I had a bilingual Korean-English New Testament, and I showed him how the Bible says that we can be made new. We can be forgiven of sin. And you know what happened that has anchored my soul? As we were going through these familiar passages, he started crying. The Holy Spirit moved in his heart so powerfully that he realized that the burden could be lifted. Another occasion, I was speaking at a conference in Colorado for a group of internationals, and there was a Japanese girl that came up after one session, and she said, you know, Mr. Carlson, what you said is nice, but it's not for everybody. I said, well, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, I killed somebody. I mean, I was kind of breathless. I killed somebody. And so, as it turned out, God forbid this has happened to any of you, but she had had an abortion. And so she was living under the cloud of sin. And so I showed her that passage where Paul says to Timothy, you know, I was a violent man. That's what he said. It's in there. I was a violent man, but the Lord had mercy on me. And we showed her these passages again, and she started crying. Why do I say that? Because the gospel of forgiveness and hope and cleansing is powerful. People can feel a burden lifted. I didn't know I could be free from this. And that's happening all over the world. We had a retreat in in Buffalo at Niagara Falls. And so we went to a church, took the students to the church. Well, it just happened to be that was Communion Sunday. And so the communion plate was coming by, and I saw this Japanese girl was going to have communion. And I said, well, this is just for people who have decided that they want to follow Jesus as their Savior. And she said, yeah, I just decided. So we've had the joy of partnering with you these many years. And as I said in the Sunday school class, there are people like the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip went out to see him, and Philip asks, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I, unless somebody explains it to me? Well, I was speaking at an international conference in Florida, an evangelistic conference, and this Chinese man came up to me after it was all over, and he said, again, remember, he's from buried in Chinese ideology. He says, Mr. Carlson, I'm a scientist. Do you really believe that? And so, you know, we had the opportunity of sharing Christ. We have so many students that come here, and they're like the psychology professor I had at college. Her mission was to convince us there's nobody out there. Nobody. So it's time for you students to give up these crutches that you've been hanging on to. Well, when I heard that, I couldn't answer her questions, but I had a church fellowship like this, and many of them were Norwegian immigrants, and we would have joint communion services, and I would hear these men from Norway sharing what Jesus meant to them. They were on the point of tears. He took my sins away. He died for me on the cross. And I'm thinking about this professor. I don't know about all your questions, but I have seen the real thing. And that will keep me forever. Well, another passage we hear about is from Romans 10, because Paul says, how can they call on one of whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on one of whom they have not heard about? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they've been sent? And God bless you for sending out many young people to the ends of the world. I spoke to the young people, the 13-year-olds in Sunday school class. I said, you know, when I was a teenager around 13 years old in the heart of Brooklyn, New York, I heard some African missionaries come back to the United States and share about their work in Cameroon. And they said there are people in the thousands and thousands who had never once heard the name of Jesus Christ. So if you ask yourself, step back, why do we do what we do? We do this every year. There's some expense involved. People travel from places. Why do we do that? Because we know people's lives have literally been changed for eternity. And Jesus is being worshipped by more and more people. Now, time like this in my life, I would think about partners like you. And I think about Philippians 4. If you have your Bible there, I'm just going to read a few words from the last chapter, because they apply to us. He says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles, or you could say to share in my support needs. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you, you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I was looking for a gift, I am looking for what may be credited to you into your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphras the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Have you ever thought of your missions giving as a fragrant offering going up to the throne of God? That's so powerful. Now he says, you were the only church, and I'm happy to say that in the North Shore here, in Salem, New Hampshire, I think there were about 8 churches that supported our ministry, even when we had to move to Colorado. And I mean that you have in your prayers have kept us going. I remember one time I was going through a crisis in the ministry. We had a change of leadership, and it was not a good change. And we had people, vice presidents, quitting. A lot of the staff were quitting. I myself was pushed out after 18 years. I didn't resign. I was actually pushed out. Things like this can happen even in a Christian organization. But I was with one of the churches here in New England, and I shared the same thing with you folks. It was way back in 1990. One of the churches just said, let's everybody gather around Harvey and lay hands on him and pray for him during this transition. That's when I moved to start working with the Navigators for 15 years. But it showed me again, God helped us through your prayers. That helped us to keep going for 47 years. Now, friends, if you do the math, you know I have to be older than 60. And we don't have any intention of stopping. I will say this, my daughter Karen and her 2 sons, Joshua and Caleb, 8 and 5, they've just moved to Colorado Springs. So Nancy and I are very busy taking care of the boys after school because their mother has a full-time job and she's a single mom. So it has been challenging to take care of the needs and to meet new students. But, you know, by God's grace, we will trust that we will have more and more time to do that. And why? Well, I just told somebody this morning, I got a Father's Day email from one of the girls from Congo, a refugee. She said, happy Father's Day, Harvey. You're the best father. You know, the loving, caring relationships we've had with them, and the privilege for me as an older person to help young people that are being allowed by the UN to come to our country as teenagers, they need help, and we know a lot of ways to help them, but especially to pray with them and help them grow closer to the Lord. So, Nancy and I thank you for this partnership. And I just want to give you one more passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Now, this is the passage where Jesus went to Jacob's well, and he was thirsty. And so he asked this woman in the middle of the day if she would give him some water. Then she says, "How can you ask me for a drink you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. And then John says in parentheses, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Are there people in Peabody that you just won't associate with? Are there people that you wouldn't want to make the effort to meet them? I have difficulty getting to know white people. It must be 10 times worse if I'm going to try to meet somebody from South America or the Middle East. But see, the thing is, her heart was not at rest. And Jesus knew that she was a Samaritan. But he was not going to let that block his ministry to her. And remember that little phrase, for Jews, they don't associate with Samaritans. And I grew up in a Norwegian-American background in Brooklyn, New York, where most of my friends had parents who were from Norway. So about the Greeks, well, there was a great Greek restaurant on 8th Avenue, but I met some Jewish kids when I went to the junior high school, which was right next to the Jewish community. But I did not have much opportunity to cross ethnic boundaries. And I just want to encourage you to say, Lord, would you search my heart and know my thoughts? See if there's a way in me that doesn't associate with needy people who need to hear the gospel. I know that if you ask Jesus, would you open the door where I feel comfortable and I have an opportunity to begin a conversation with somebody, would you do that? Would you give me peace in my heart so I can be your instrument in this world? So the conference is all about going, but going does not necessarily mean going to Logan and then changing to another place in Frankfurt and finally ending up in Jakarta. It doesn't just mean that. When I came here, there were probably about 8,000 international students in the Boston area. Now I understand there are about 30,000. And I know there are people in this area who have an outreach to students at Salem State College. And I believe that you could be part of that. You could certainly investigate it, see if it's for you. But there is a mission field here. And Cornelius, he was searching. Lydia in the Bible, a businesswoman away from home, she was searching. In fact, it says God opened her heart to hear the gospel. So may we all grow in trust and confidence and get rid of some of our fears or anxieties. It's normal. In fact, they have a strange word for it. The word is xenophobia, fear of strangers. But the Lord can give us grace to overcome that. And then finally again, thank you so much for 47 years. Now somebody asked me, so does this mean we'll never see you again? But I've been wrestling with that because this area is like a spiritual pilgrimage area. The Lord led me from a college, 30,000 students in the heart of Brooklyn, up to Gordon Divinity School. I had never heard of it, but some InterVarsity staff people in New York told me about it. Well, I came and I studied here, and then one of the guys found out there was a gal who had just come back from Kenya, and she had some slides that she could show her. Well, that's when I met Nancy. And I guess I would say I was smitten. So I met my wife here. We were married here in the North Shore. And then we had a ministry here for 12 years. And there are people in this area that have mentored me. They have impacted me. And I've made a point while I've been here to sit down and talk and pray with them. And it's been a blessing. And my heart's desire is to come back again and again. Because this may sound like talk, but you people are like family to me. I feel very close to you. And I'm just thankful for your prayers and encouragements for all of these years. And God bless you for it. Let me just pray, okay? Jesus, thank you for being the Lord of the nations. You are the Lord of the United States, but you're also the Lord of Chile and Saudi Arabia and Lebanon. May your kingdom come among us, and may your will be done among us as it is in heaven. And I pray, Lord, that you will powerfully use this week to encourage and even to call young people to serve you and to seek your will for their lives. I ask, Lord, a rich blessing as the new pastor comes, that there will be such a wonderful and quick bonding and blending that we can just continue on in worship of your holy name. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.